Hi, and welcome to Tilting at Windmills, the show that looks to make the world better through fiction. I'm Stephanie Silverstein, writer, person, thinker, soon-to-be published author. More about that in a little bit, as well as some music from Angels and Airwaves, a discussion of the effect of alcohol abuse on American homes, and an excerpt from Chapter 3, Winter Silence. Stay tuned. Let's kick things off with a publication report. There's not very much new to report in the world of promotion this week. The key word for all the promotions I have been doing is patience. The viewership of this podcast has been small but is steadily growing, as is the number of people who have seen my business card and have asked me about the novel. I appreciate those of you who have already told me that you're going to purchase a copy of the novel when it comes out and are excited for me, and I hope that those of you who are listening and not yet committed to buying will consider doing so. Progress towards publication also remains steady. I've been in touch with my publisher in order to make sure that I have everything ready to go in June, as well as having decided that I'm not going to make any more editorial changes. The only changes that I'm going to make to the novel at this point are proofreading changes, and once again, I do need people who are solely interested in being proofreaders. If this is something you can and would like to do, please send me an email at stephanie@stephaniesilberstein.com. And that's it for the publication report. When we come back, alcoholism. What is it? How does it affect people? And what can we do to stop it? But first, It Hurts by Angels in the Airwaves, courtesy of Open Source Audio.
Tonight.
Once again, that was It Hurts by Angels on the Airwaves, courtesy of Open Source Audio. For those of you just tuning in, I'm Stephanie Silberstein, and this is Tilting at Windmills, the show that tries to make the world better through fiction. And now for the topic of the week. Alcohol abuse may seem to be a very minor theme in the world of Winter Silence. Although character of Uncle Matt is an alcoholic, and his abuse of alcohol frightens 6-year-old Emily, who, being only a child, has no idea what's going on, and whose parents refuse to tell her, it is not the major point of the book. However, in real life, alcoholism is such an important topic, so immense that I don't even know how to begin to address it. I thought about beginning with statistics, even though those are cold, hard numbers that really don't mean anything and are devoid of human feeling. Do you know that 1 out of 4 people will struggle with alcohol abuse sometime during their life? Did you know that in the past year alone, I've known 1 person who died of complications from alcoholism and 2 people who were involved in drunk driving accidents when they were not drunk, one of them who was a 15-year-old kid who died? These are things we all hear on the news every day, and they are things that we probably just have become desensitized to and it would just pass over us, but these are things that need to be addressed and that we need to be aware of. Alcohol kills, make no mistake about it. And if it doesn't kill outright, it kills relationships, it kills trust, it kills security, and it kills a sense of being able to cope with your life. I, too, am an alcoholic. I've been sober 85 days. And people assume that the fact that I've been able to do it this long means I'm not alcoholic. And they assume that the fact I was only drinking once a day and 1 beer at a time when I was drinking means that I'm not really an alcoholic. I'm just a normal American person because all Americans drink every day, don't they? I'm here to tell you exactly how terrible alcohol abuse is. And I'm here to tell you that the myths about it are not true. It's not true that it's okay as long as you don't get drunk all the time. It's not true that being hungover is a normal part of life. It's not true that if you're a college kid that you have to drink and that you shouldn't be worried if you're drinking to excess. I don't expect to convince anybody not to drink. I think that's a personal choice, and I personally think that drinking is a terrible thing. I don't think that it's realistic to expect everyone to quit cold turkey and stop drinking forever. And I certainly don't think it should be illegalized. We tried that once. It was called prohibition, and all it did was make people drink more, and drink more in secret. That's the whole reason that I'm against drug laws in general, which is a whole other issue. But I do think that you should be aware of a couple of things. Number one, if you are going to drink, don't drive. Now, when you're sober, you might agree with that, but my experience has been that people who drink, as soon as they've had a few, all of a sudden forget that they can't drink and drive and think that they can drive just fine. So if you're going to drink, make sure there's someone with you and give them your keys before you start. I'm tired of people dying in drunk driving accidents. It's not necessary. Number two, monitor your drinking. If you're drinking every day, no matter how much or how little, you might want to ask yourself why. You might want to dare yourself to stop and see if you can, and you might want to think about what other things are going on in your life that might be causing you to be stressed out and be drinking. Number three, be aware of what's happening in your life. Alcohol abuse, like any kind of intoxication, is a defense mechanism meant to make the person numb to their pain and escape from their pain. I think that if, in general, people were more aware of what they were thinking and feeling, there wouldn't be problems like alcoholism. There wouldn't be problems like drug abuse. There wouldn't be problems like poverty-related crime. There'd be less poverty and less children born into painful situations and less brokenness in this world of ours. But let's stick with alcohol, because that's what we're talking about now. And let's think about what's happening in our lives that's causing us to want to drink. And whatever it is, deal with it. If you want to drink to relax and socialize, that's one thing. But if you're drinking too much, it's probably because there's something you're not dealing with. And the only way out of that pain is through. And so you have to ask yourself, what exactly is it that you want to accomplish and you're not accomplishing? What is it that's disappointing you? What is it that's breaking your heart? What is it that's causing you to not be able to deal with your... I'm probably just about out of time, even though there's so much more I could say about alcoholism. It has been such a poison in my own life. It killed my very best friend, as well as several people that I was getting to know, as well as some people that never had a chance to live a proper life. Please think at least about what you're doing when you drink. Think about why, and don't ever drink and drive. And now for this week's news headlines. Street and highway crews try to clear roads across the Great Lakes states into New England due to a nor'easter blamed for 3 deaths. Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney accused rival Mike Huckabee of running for the wrong party because he criticized President Bush's foreign policy. Great Britain relinquishes control of Basra to Iraq, ending its ownership of any part of the country. A small study in Texas suggests that male relatives of women carrying the breast cancer gene face greater odds of developing male breast cancer, as well as prostate, pancreatic, and skin cancer. As the Hollywood writer strike continues, the WGA says it will try to deal directly with Hollywood studios and production companies rather than the AMPTP. Amazon.com reveals itself to be the buyer of the first J.K. Rowling book produced since the completion of the Harry Potter series. And finally, in sports, New York Yankees pitcher Andy Pettitte confesses to using human growth hormone to help him recover from an elbow injury in 2002. And that's the news. Next up, an excerpt from Chapter 3 of Winter's Silence. Sit back and enjoy. I knelt down by the chair. I was a little mouse checking for cats from my secret hiding place. Mama stormed in. Where is she? She stomped towards the chair. I made myself flat so she couldn't squash me. Calm down, will you? Uncle Matt said. Mama whirled around. Don't tell me what to do! And get Emily! Now! She wrinkled up her nose. Her eyes caught fire and spit it at Uncle Matt, but she said something so quiet I couldn't hear. Uncle Matt nodded just a little bit. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I stopped as soon as she came up. Mama stared at Uncle Matt till his head drooped down. I hugged Big Bird to me so he wouldn't see. Mama's middle went up and down like an accordion. Where is my daughter? She threw her purse down so hard it bounced and clapped her hands. Emily, come on out. It's time to go. Her voice was soft like the witch in Hansel and Gretel. I crawled forward a little bit and stuck my head out. Mama's face was mad, but she was smiling. I ducked back again and held my breath. Come on, Emily, Mama said. I'm giving you till 3. I let my breath out. It pushed me all the way into the open. Mama turned towards me as I stood up. I didn't like her fire eyes on me. I pretended to be looking at some white dust on my jeans. Thank God, Mama said. I put the Big Bird bottle in my mouth. Mama's lips got tight. Give me that bottle so we can go. I shielded Big Bird with my elbow. Patrick wants to say goodbye to Uncle Matt. Mama's eyes flashed, but her smile got bigger. Of course he does. I looked away. Well, say it. I looked at Uncle Matt for help. His eyes were two big black holes that didn't even see me. They only saw empty space. Uncle Matt? Uncle Matt squeezed my shoulder. Go with your mom, okay? But, come on already, Mama said. I started to follow her out of the room, but I was looking at Uncle Matt. He was staring into his pipe like it was a black cauldron. Mama was too busy walking to see. She was already halfway down the hall. I stopped in the doorway. Uncle Matt, Patrick wants to know. The hallway shook as Mama came back. Uncle Matt shoved the pipe into his pocket. Now, Emily, Mama said. Daddy's waiting. I ran to Uncle Matt and hugged him tight. He whispered, We'll talk soon, I promise. I didn't want to let him go. I could feel Mama's eyes drilling holes in me. I went towards her before she could melt me into a pile of nothing. Once again, that excerpt was from Chapter 3 of Winter Silence, due out in June 2008. I hope you enjoyed it and also enjoyed tonight's broadcast. Be sure to tune in next week where we tackle the issue of how to help children struggle with difficult issues. I'd like to thank my friends, family, and colleagues for their continued support as I endeavor to bring the Winter Silence Project off the ground, the people at opensourceaudio.com for their use of their music, and especially you, my listeners. Until next time, this is Stephanie Silverstein for Tilting at Windmills, asking you how you can make the world a better place. Have a good night.